Good evening. Welcome to worship tonight. It's nice to have you here. Happy Thanksgiving to you all. I remember one Thanksgiving when I was a kid, we went ice skating. Yeah. Do you remember that, Dwayne? Yeah. Now it's 65 degrees. And you guys are heading south. You'll be wishing you were home. We have so much to be thankful for. It's nice that we take a day out of the year to have a Thanksgiving day. Many of you know that Karen and I have had a couple difficult months. Karen's mom is fighting cancer bad and dementia with the dad, and then about a couple months ago, we had an infestation of fleas at the parsonage. I like to say of biblical proportions this thing came. And then, 2 days ago, a pipe burst in the basement, and we had a flood. So we're working on the plagues that happened in the book of Exodus. Through it all, though, someone asked me, how can you even talk about being thankful? But we have been blessed with good friends, good family. We love each other. We live in a great place. And, so maybe Thanksgiving is all the more meaningful when you go through some difficult situations. We'll be talking about, when I wrote this sermon tonight, the lesson it was surprising how it fit. It comes from the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus says, don't worry. Don't worry. That's what it is. Don't worry about anything. God will take care of us. So. Pardon? Was there water involved? The water and the Word. Yes, we are washed in the blood of the Lamb. How about that? Yeah. Anyway, happy Thanksgiving to you all. Stay safe and enjoy the day. Love your family and travel safely. Let's begin with a prayer. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Thank you for this opportunity to say thanks for you. Thanks to you for all of you, all of your love, your presence in our lives, your Spirit that has moved in our hearts, the love that we have shared in having children and grandchildren, having brothers and sisters, the love that we have in this room tonight and throughout this church. We pray, O Lord, that something special might happen, not only to us, but to our world, that one day, maybe tomorrow, your love will just zap the whole place and there will be no more war or suffering or hurt. Wouldn't that be nice? In any case, Lord, bless us with your presence tonight. Allow us to draw close to you. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Our call to worship. Please rise. O Lord, how marvelous are your works. In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your riches.
Bless
We will say our vows to the Lord now in the presence of all His people in the courts of the Lord's house.
We will offer you our words of praise and thanksgiving.
Let's open with hymn number 693.
Thank you.
Let us pray. O God, our Heavenly Father, who guided our forefathers through the storms and perils of life, to the extent that they set aside a special day to honor and praise your name, we would also take time to express our gratitude for your manifold blessings given to us. We would praise you for your goodness that has created us, for your bounty that has sustained us, for your fatherly discipline that has chastened us, for your patience that has forgiven us, and for your love that has redeemed us through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let us join in the prayer of confession. Forgive us, Lord, for failing to realize the greatness of your marvelous blessings to us, for thinking that man can live by bread alone, and for assuming that we have earned the harvest merely because we have planted the seed. Pardon us wherein we lack mercy and love in our relationships with others, forgetting that we reveal our gratitude for your love to us in this way. Be merciful to us. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.
The first reading for our service tonight is from 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 7, and 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 7. Christians are encouraged to offer prayers and thanks for all people, including rulers who were pagans rather than Christians. We offer such inclusive, far-reaching prayers because God desires to save all people. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all who are in high positions, so that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and dignity. This is right and is acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, there is also one mediator between God and humankind, Christ Jesus himself, human, who gave himself a ransom for all. This was attested at the right time. For this I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I am telling the truth. I am not lying. A teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. We'll read responsibly Psalm 126. When you see the bold R, please read, "The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad indeed." When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, then we were like those who dream.
Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then they said among the nations, "The Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad indeed."
The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad indeed.
Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the watercourses of the Negev.
Those who sowed with tears will reap with songs of joy.
Those who go out weeping, carrying the seed, will come again with joy, shouldering their sheaves. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad indeed. The Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad indeed.
Please stand for the reading of the Gospel.
The Holy Gospel for this Thanksgiving is found in the 6th chapter of St. Matthew. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus taught his disciples about the providence of God so that they would regard life with thanksgiving and trust rather than anxiety. Jesus speaks, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, Will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things. And indeed your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. The word of God, the word of life. Please be seated. Now we sang 693 through the opening. Do you have something else?
Yeah, let's sing 840 now.
840 now.
All right.
840.
At this moment.
At this moment. Number 840. At this moment. Now. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So I've gone through the pestilence of biblical proportions, the floods. What do I say for a Thanksgiving sermon? How do I encourage God's children? I should tell you this, that I'm the most blessed person there is in the world. I've got a wife who's strong, rolls up her sleeves and gets to work and helps out and does the right things. I've got friends in the church, that family who cares, come clean up the mess. I've got a God who loves me, who promises that he'll be with me. He gives me his power to get up in the morning and encourages me to get going, get down the road. And he places the verse from the 28th chapter of Matthew in my mind. Lo, actually he says, Jimmy, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. And so I am a blessed man. I hope you are too, this Thanksgiving. Our appointed lesson tonight was really an interesting, all of a sudden here it appears, you know, do not worry. Sometimes life, you know, doesn't work out just like we planned. And what do we do with life when it throws us curveballs? You know, sometimes we get embarrassed. Sometimes we get down on ourselves. Sometimes we worry and we sulk and we make all the people around us miserable. And what good does that do? And so on this Thanksgiving Day, we turn to the Gospel of Matthew. And we read some of the most important words that have ever been written from the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life,
what you will eat or what you will drink or what you're going to wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. How much more does he care about you? And why do you worry about your clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They don't labor or spin. Yet I tell you, Solomon in all his glory was not adorned as one of these. And he closes by saying, so, don't worry. Don't worry about what we should eat or what we should drink or what we should wear. The pagans, the non-believers, they run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows you need them. But first seek his kingdom and his righteousness, doing what's right. And all these things will be yours as well. That's Jesus' promise to us. Don't worry. Don't worry. One of the professors in seminary, John Killinger, talked about a passage from Viktor Frankl's book, Man's Search for Meaning, that's appropriate for the day. Viktor Frankl was a psychotherapist who was imprisoned by the Nazis, and he survived to write a book about his experience. Frankl told about the afternoon in one of the camps that when the men had tramped several miles back from the work that they had done that day, and they were lying in their exhausted in their barracks, sick and hungry and with no strength at all. It was the middle of winter, and times were tough. But then one of the guys said, come and see, you got to see this. And reluctantly, the men got up and dragged themselves outside. It had been raining, a cold, wintry afternoon, and the rain had stopped, and a ray of sunshine had come out. And what had happened was that those lumpy, leaden clouds were still out there, but the sun was boiling through, and it was reflecting on little pools of water on the concrete floor in the courtyard, and it just sparkled, he said. And this is what he says. He says, we stood there, marveling at the goodness of the creation. We were tired and cold and sick. We were starving to death. We had lost our loved ones and never expected to see them again. Yet there we stood, feeling a sense of reverence as old and formidable as the world itself. Doesn't that passage put perspective into our lives? We who have so much, exhausted and sick and hungry, living in a Nazi concentration camp, and the experience a sense of reverence of the goodness of creation, of the goodness of the Lord. I read somewhere that birds sing more than 2,000 times a day. Don't they know that this is a cruel world, I think? Don't they know that guys like me shoot them out of the air? Don't they know that there's jet planes that'll suck them into their engines? And yet when you think about it, someone said, a bird doesn't sing because it has an answer. A bird sings because it has a song. The Pilgrim Fathers, of whom we're reminded every Thanksgiving, didn't have much to be thankful for when you think about it. They had been hounded out of one country. They tried settling in another, but that didn't work out. They'd been fled from persecution then. And they sailed across the ocean in an old bucket named the Mayflower. And when they got here, they met with a land that was full of hardship, a hostile environment, new diseases, starvation, inclement weather, challenges they had never dreamed of. And how did they handle it? They gave thanks. They gave thanks. It's like something out of the... From the late Irma Bombeck, who wrote a book while she was going through cancer. This is what she wrote in her book. She said, an estimated 1.5 million people are living today after bouts with breast cancer. Every time I forget to feel grateful to be among them, I hear the voice of an 8-year-old named Christina who had cancer of the nervous system. When asked what she wanted for her birthday, she thought long and hard. Finally says, I don't know. I have 2 sticker books and a Cabbage Patch doll. I have everything. And Irma Bombeck says, you know, that's right. That's right. I mean, think about that for a minute. A little girl who has terrible cancer, but because she has 2 sticker books and a Cabbage Patch doll, she has everything. If we aren't careful, Thanksgiving can be the most superficial holiday of the year. We start thinking that, thanking God for our affluent lifestyle, for the big screen TV and the new SUV out in the driveway and the cruise we took last summer and the multitude of toys we'll give our kids and grandkids this Christmas. And we have no awareness that there are people in Sudan who have nothing. I've got a friend that I graduated from high school with, Mickey Cosby, who's a missionary in Sudan. He says some people have nothing but the clothes on their backs, and yet they, too, are giving thanks. And in fact, he says some of them are more thankful than some of us. They're giving thanks for the gift of knowing Jesus, and that's what they have to sustain them through the day. We thank God for our good health, and we forget that about people who, even as we worship, are in the hospital struggling for their very lives, and yet even there, some of them have a word of thanksgiving on their lips. Huh? You hear what I'm saying? Sometimes I think we should cancel Thanksgiving altogether. Until we understand what true Thanksgiving is all about. It's not about flat screens or SUVs or houses. It's not even about good health, although as precious as that is, Thanksgiving is about seeing life as a gift. I mean, our lives are gifts to us to be lived. It's not about constantly striving to have more. It's about resting our lives in the arms of God. Trusting our lives in the arms of God, in the arms of our Creator. Acknowledging, regardless of the circumstances that come before us, whether we live in the midst of abundance or in the parched land of misery, that God is our life. God is our hope. God is the source of everything good, and He gives it to us. There's a wonderful illustration of this kind of awareness in one of those little books by Dr. Spencer Johnson. The book is called The Present. If you get a chance, you should look it up. Present is about a little boy who comes to an old man, and the old man appears to be so happy and content. And one day, the old man is sitting on his swing on his porch, and the little boy comes up and says, "Mister, why are you always so happy?" And the old man says, "Son, it's because I have the present." And the little boy says, "Well, I love presents." He wondered if the old man might somehow let him have the present too. And to his surprise, the old man said that the boy already had the present. And once he recognized what it was, he'd be happy every day. And from that day forward, the old man became a special part of that little boy's life. Even as the teenager grew into adulthood, he knew that he was reminded he had the present. The old man reminded him that present, once he found the present, everything else in the world would fall into perspective. The boy wondered if it was magic. The old man said, "No, it's not magic, but it's magical. And once you have the present, you're content to be right where you are at the moment." And as the boy matured and received a college degree and got his first job, and he's out there working, he still wondered about the present until finally one day it dawned on him, and excitedly he went to the old man and said, "It's not a hole in your hand kind of a gift. The moment of time that is today, that is now, that's the present." And with a warm smile and a sparkling eye, The old man confirmed that he was right. It's enjoying the gift of life right now, right in this moment. And over the next few years, the young man married and had children, and he was happy that. But life presented him all kinds of challenges, just like it challenges you and challenges me. And each time he was tempted to let go of the present, the old man would come along and put his arm around and give him some advice and get him back on track again. And eventually the old man died, and everyone in the neighborhood, rich and poor, turned out to his funeral. And not long after, a middle-aged man, this same boy, now completely grown, he was sitting contentedly in his swing. And a little girl walked up to him and said, "Mister, why do you look so happy?" "Oh, young lady," he said, "it's because I have the present." And she told him that she loved presents too, and wondered if he might help her get this present too. This Thanksgiving, in this Sermon on the Mount, this portion of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is giving us the present. He's giving us the present tonight. He says, don't worry about your life, what you'll eat, what you drink. Don't worry about your body, what you're going to wear. Be thankful in your heart for the present. Enjoy one another's gifts. Live with each other now, and life will be yours. True life will be yours. Amen.
Will the congregation please rise? Please turn to the offertory prayer on page 3. Let us pray. Father God, we want to thank you for the privilege of worship today. Thank you for letting us come to your house. Be associated with the people around us as we come together to worship you and to praise your awesome and holy name. We come now bringing love gifts to express our gratitude for your generosity. Bless these gifts to the end that others come to know your love and mercy. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us give thanks for the bounty of people. For children who are second planting, and though they grow like weeds and the wind too soon blows them away, may they forgive us our cultivation and fondly remember where their roots are. Let us give thanks for generous friends with hearts and smiles as bright as their blossoms, for feisty friends as tart as apples, for crotchety friends as sour as rhubarb, and as indestructible. For funny friends who are as silly as Brussels sprouts and as humorous as Jerusalem artichokes. For friends as unpretentious as cabbages, as subtle as summer squash, as persistent as parsley, as delightful as dill, as endless as zucchini, and who, like parsnips, can be counted on to see us through the winter.
For old friends, hiding like sunflowers in the evening time.
And young friends, coming as fast as radishes. And finally, for those friends now gone, like gardens past that have been harvested,
who fed us in their time, that we might have life thereafter. For all these we give thanks.
Let's join in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. May Almighty God, who makes all things new in Jesus Christ, uphold you by the Spirit in times of trial, and bring you at last to the heavenly Jerusalem.
Amen.
Go in peace. Christ is with you.
Thanks be to God.
Our closing hymn is 679.
Our neighbor, God's will is done.